I'm Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC. Welcome to my show. And joining me now are the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, also known as, what the heck is it? Oh, yeah. Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York.
We almost forgot that also.
Who are you again? Why are you here?
You get old, you forget things.
Is that your excuse? Yeah. that's your story and you're sticking to it.
Yes. Don't turn on the eraser.
I'm not sure I understand that. But when the gurus come and visit us, a number of things happen. We take your calls on home repair problems at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. We also have a little quiz, and we usually talk about something that is germane to the moment, right?
Right,
absolutely.
And do you have anything in mind, or
yes.
Are we going to go right to the quiz?
No, we have germane things in mind.
Yes.
Okay, just so we're clear.
And what mind are you using?
The germane one.
The germane one.
We really didn't like that word. I thought that was a fine word.
It was germane. It's like Oprah.
Have you seen Munich?
It's like Oprah, Uma, Oprah, you know?
Okay, well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, at this time of the year, almost every year, we do repeat the same subject matter in the January because...
It's getting repetitive.
Yes, we're repetitive, but this is important.
But that's by the nature because January just keeps coming around every year, so...
Yes, unless you can call it by something other than January, but... what we have found in the examination of buildings as we go around looking at buildings and homes, we find that people still have their Christmas tree in their living room, live Christmas trees, and they're lit up with lighting and electricity.
Well, let me correct you. They're not so live at this point.
Mm. Well, that's true.
They're dropping pines like mad.
Well taken.
Pine needles all over the place.
Well, yes, they're falling off. It's drying out. And this is literally a time bomb. It is a fire waiting to happen. You know, when they say about, you know, what is the three major causes of fire? And we have found out the three major causes of fire is men, women, and children. And the idea is that without those three people thinking properly, you're going to have a fire. Christmas trees, everyone out there, if you have them in your house, get it out into the street. Now, right this minute.
In some cases, you could actually take it to a local... center where it can be used.
Yeah, they mulch it up and they use it in the parks department. They spread it around and they give it back to you if you have a garden.
The other
it's
thing,
very good.
The other
I heard
thing,
a report today about them being used to help in Arizona, in some lake in Arizona, although I'm not ready to take that old
what
tree
are they doing
Arizona.
With it?
What are they doing? What is that supposed some, to be doing? Some,
they put them in the bottom of the lakes and it causes... It helps fish to develop.
Okay.
It gives them little havens, the endangered species.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Arizona doesn't have too many trees, at least in the south.
Yeah, well,
it's a very interesting
part of the world. Actually, the other thing, which actually I was doing the other day, is people who have triple track storm and screens should put the screens up and put the storms down. In other words, put the storm windows, the glass sections in the right position, and you will find that all those rooms that have them will get a lot warmer without having to put more heat into the building. Also, if you have fixed storms, which you've taken down for the winter, you should have already put them back. But if you haven't, put them up. They will save. You will save probably about 2 or 3 or 4% per window that you put these storm windows in the right position or you put them into place.
Okay. Yes. Now can I ask the quiz?
It is my pleasure to let you do the pleasure. Mm-hmm.
My turn.
I was practicing and you did last month, but whatever.
No.
No. It's okay.
It must have been strange growing up
in
that house.
We're supposed to let people think that we're serious.
In the language of roof flashing, now I have never been flashed by a roof, but in the language of roof flashing and building moisture control, what is the name given to the groove cut into masonry, brickwork, or stone to accommodate the technique of inserting flashing material into the masonry to prevent water from running down and into the wall cavity? Wow. There are three names for this process that we know of, and you can win by giving us any one of those three.
Yeah,
there are three that we know of. There are about 35 that we don't know.
But they're all similar.
Yeah, but they're synonyms, but they all mean the same thing, and they You know, the construction industry is wrought with a whole bunch of people who use different languages to describe the same thing.
It's like thingamajig or doohickey. Right. Yeah, same
yes.
thing.
And our number, again, 212-433-9692.
And if they get it right, they win a copy of...
Save Energy, Save Money by Alvin Ubell and George Merlis.
Okay. Can I ask you a question? Do you even hear that I'm talking...
Not always.
Okay, fine. I just want to make sure.
I just like to step right on
okay,
top of
Okay, just
you.
Want to make sure that's the system.
You know,
okay.
I'm a stair person, so yes, I keep stepping on you. Yeah, okay. All right. You got it.
Okay.
Barbara from Randolph, New Jersey. Hi.
You're on
the Dysfunctional Family Hour. Hi.
Better known as the Gurus of How To.
I've just discovered a damage in my basement from water seepage,
mm-hmm.
and I know there's a lot of scams out there in waterproofing, and I'm very nervous. I just had the insurance company here this morning, and of course they said, no, they do not cover it, and I just don't know where to go. I've got the wall molded, the wall-to-wall Berber carpeting.
And this is a basement, right?
This is
a drywall that's all moldy, or is it?
Well, it actually affects two rooms. One is a paneled room with Berber carpeting, and the other is sort of a back storage room. But they're both finished off,
mm-hmm.
and it's you know, it's not standing water, but you put your hand in it, and it's mushy.
You mean the drywall is mushy, or the wall?
No, the carpet is
the
mushy.
Well, the first thing I have to say is that you have to treat a basement like an area that's going to get wet on a regular basis. Like you wouldn't carpet the bottom of your shower,
or
the bottom of your bathtub.
It's an unused swimming pool.
Exactly, but it will collect water, and therefore you have to design it in such a way that anything that you would put down there could be easily maintained in the event of a moisture or flood condition. So obviously the first thing I would do is, for health reasons, is rip out all the carpeting. I would just get it all removed.
We've lived here 21 years, mm-hmm. and so, you know...
It's never happened before?
We felt fairly certain that we would be okay. Well, we had a little bit of dampness 7 years ago, and we had someone come in, and they painted something on the walls mm-hmm. and repaired the sheetrock and put in new molding, and we thought we had taken care of it.
Mm-hmm.
We had also put in some sand and some... material on the outside because we're on a slope and
mm-hmm.
so we get the down water. So we thought we were okay, and my daughter had storage furniture down there. And
but let me ask you a question. When did this occur?
Well, I think in the last couple of days, but we just discovered it yesterday.
Well, this is something that may go away in due course, but however, if you live on a sloping terrain like you described, it is quite possible to and easily, but not inexpensive, to put in a French drain in some way, as so that all of the water that comes close to the foundation is drained off into a lower gravity area. And this really works very well with basements that do get wet if you have a place to drain into. Most places put in like a sump pump or something like that, but if you can utilize the gravity of the sloping terrain, that is the optimum thing to do, and you will have a basement dry almost forever. But it has to be well designed and placed in a proper way.
And who designs
that? How do you find somebody reliable, though? I mean, you just look in the yellow pages. I mean,
well,
that's
actually,
the part that scares me.
Actually, a good the engagement of an architect or an engineer who deals with hydraulics, and they will lay out a design for you that and the specifications in order to give it to a contractor. If you rely on a contractor to do that work, unless they are guaranteeing the results, you're going to be in trouble.
Okay.
Thank you. Some contractors actually also have architectural skills, but you have to find the right ones.
Yeah, that's true.
And some of them are quite knowledgeable in it, but the problem is, like I made this analogy, it's kind of like your auto repair person. How many do you go through until you find the guy who actually tells you, no, you don't need something, and no, the car is fine, and he actually is qualified to know what he's talking about. That's kind of the hard process. And I have to tell you, during the process that we had during September and October, when we had those 9 or 10 days of straight rain, the amount of things that I've heard that were offered by contractors that were completely useless but cost $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $20,000 that wouldn't do anything, was completely useless. There were so many. It was unbelievable and shameful.
We had my room has a leak to the point where much of the ceiling tile was destroyed, and they came in and they fixed it, and then we just had a rain the other day, and more tile went. So these things can be really difficult.
Yeah, you got to find the source of it. There's two theories that go along. Either you find the source and stop it, or wherever the water is coming in, you capture it and draw it off to some other place that it doesn't do damage.
Wallach from the Bronx. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopez show.
Hi, Wallach. What can we do for you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
We have a house here. It's a three-story house. We have heat in the front rooms, the two living rooms, because there are two apartments, and then the back rooms, there is no heat whatsoever.
What kind of heating system do you have?
The whole thing.
What kind of heating system do you have?
It's
steam or hot water or forced air?
Hot water.
Hot water. All right. So if you have a hot water circulating system and the radiators in the rear of the building, do they get hot? Do they get warm? Or what are they?
No, they're very cold.
They're very cold. Well, the theory is that when you have a room that is hot is and another room that is cold is not look at the cold room, but look at the hot room and try to reduce the amount of heat in that room, and that'll force the heat into the colder area. In other words, in a hot water system, there is probably a throttling valve on each of those radiators that you can turn down ever so slightly in order so to restrict the water flow into those radiators.
Let me ask a question first. What kind of radiators are they? Baseboard or are they cast iron?
Those old radiators, baseboard.
I mean, but they old, are they cast iron or are they sheet metal with fins on the inside?
Sheet metal.
Okay, so they're probably, the problem with that is that there probably are no shutoff valves.
They're probably a big loop.
It's probably one big loop, and what I would recommend is in the areas that are warm, what you can do is on those baseboards, they actually have fins that can be dampers that can be opened or closed. If there aren't any dampers, I would take some cardboard and duct tape close the vent area or where the convection works, and that would stifle it and prevent the heat from coming out of the radiator and force the heat into the areas that are cold.
And once he does that, will that other area start heating up on a regular basis?
Yes, it's a process of trial and error. When you everybody tries to make a room warm that is cold, the idea is to look at a room that is overheated and take that heat and put it someplace else and stifle the heat convection into that room. And this is a process of dampering or putting valves in or making sure that the water that's supposed to be going to those far radiators that are cold is flowing properly. They may have a defective flow control at the boiler area. They may have a valve that is not fully opened in that area. So somebody has to go through and verify what's going on.
Okay, Wallach. Another caller, and we have just moments left before we have to go to a break, says that her radiator only heats from the top up. The bottom remains cold.
Okay, let me talk to her for a second. Is that a steam system or is it a hot water system?
Joan?
Do
you have... Okay, let me ask you a question. The way you can tell, is there one pipe going into the radiator or two pipes? And is there an air vent on the side of the radiator or is there no air vent?
I don't think there's an air vent.
Well, you know what you need to do. If you can, get someone to take a picture of the radiator and send it to me at my email address at larry@ubell.com, and I'll take a look and I'll let you know.
Okay, Joan.
And make sure anyone who sends me email, I got through a bunch of them. Thank you so much for all the emails I got through. I'm calling each one individually. I do my own little radio show for them, and I get through all of them. I got through about 50, and I got about 20 to go. So if I didn't get to you, I will, and I'll backlog. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I also have a life. I have to leave from
and
time
you have
to
a job.
Time. Exactly.
And we have to take care of business here. We'll take a little break and come back with more from the Gurus of How To. Our number, 212-433-9692. Stay with us. There has got to be a way. Burning down the house. Later in the show, Lee Eisenberg, the former editor-in-chief of Esquire, tackles a subject that makes many people very anxious, preparing for a comfortable retirement. But after the gurus, we will be getting something fabulous, a live performance from the great jazz pianist, composer, band leader Randy Weston. And then we'll also talk to the son of an early FBI hero who explains why he feels J. Edgar Hoover tried to ruin his father's reputation. This is WNYC 93.9 FM and WNYC.org. Place for news and talk all day, classical music all night. Meanwhile, on WNYC AM 820, you can hear live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Samuel A. Alito. Such a long, long time. How you gonna fix this broken heart of mine? And we're back with the gurus of how to. Alvin and Lawrence U. Bell, Anchored Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. And they can be reached, in case you can't get through to us here, at larry@ubell.com. And our number here is 212-433-9692. We have a quiz still in the works in the language of, you do it this time.
In the language of roof flashing and building moisture control, what is the name of the groove cut into masonry to accommodate the technique of inserting flashing material into the masonry to prevent the water from running down and into the wall cavity? There are three names for this process. We will accept any one of the three.
And Lynn from Oakland, New Jersey, what do you say it is?
I think it's an L-track.
Sorry. Mm.
Sounds good, but not.
Sorry. Not quite.
Sophia from the Bronx.
What are you up to, Sophia?
Tongue and grooves?
No. That would be flooring, but okay, or sheathing or
yeah.
Siding.
Thank you. And, well, you know, these are good questions. These are good answers, just not the correct ones, right?
Right, right.
Greg from Brooklyn. What do you say it is?
It's a point, tuck point.
No, that's the process of putting cement in between brickwork or something like that.
Okay, Harry from Staten Island.
Harry. How are you, gentlemen? It's called a reglet.
And how did you know that, Harry?
I'm in the roofing business.
Oh!
At least he's honest enough to say.
Yes.
He really needs to
be honest. That's hard to find honesty lately.
You could have said you were a school teacher or something.
And you really need that home energy saving guide, right?
No, I just wanted to give you the answer.
Okay, cool.
We appreciate it. And we're going to put you on hold.
So don't hang up.
And we will take your address, and you will get a copy of
the Save Money, Save Energy by Alvin U. Bell and George Merlis.
And Harry, thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now.
In the roofing business. What is he listening to you guys for? Forgive me for saying that.
Because you know what? Public radio is really interesting, and it is really the last bastion on terrestrial radio.
And we're aiming for extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. Our number, again, 212-433-9692. You're going to say something?
Yeah, there is actually what's happening on our website, which is very interesting, is that Recipes for Home Repair, which is a book that's out of print.
Actually, it was your first book.
It was the first book I wrote, which sold over 500,000 copies, and it was published by the New York Times.
Mostly to family, but that's okay.
The Encyclopedia Britannica, family. And it became a really very good book. We're giving it away free on our website. In other words, there are sections of it have only one chapter to go, but you can go on to the website now and get every single chapter. By the time we're on next month, we will have the entire book that will be downloadable free of charge. And all you have to do is just punch up www.accuratebuilding.com, and in the upper left-hand corner, it'll tell you where to go on our website to get the book.
And as far as contacting me with your email, it would be really beneficial if you would actually give me your telephone number also, because it takes me way too long to write all these emails. It's much easier to just talk to you on the phone. So give me your telephone numbers. That would be great.
And we will throw away the telephone number afterwards. We will not.
No. I'm selling them. No. We need to make some extra money here, you know?
George from Clifton, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopez show.
Yes, I'm inquiring about the squeaky floors.
Mm-hmm.
House built in 1952,
mm-hmm.
and and the squeaky floors started outside the bathroom about 2 years ago after we had a whole new bathroom put in. And now it seems to be more pronounced and going along the way. Who do I get to analyze and do any work?
Well, first
Leonard
of all,
Leonard Lopate.
I may have the right answer.
Leonard Lopate here can analyze that like a shot because he is one of our really astute apprentices that knows how to fix this. Go ahead.
I got to do something after they jump me off from the station.
Tell them how to fix it.
Well, I'm assuming it started near the bathroom because of moisture, and your floor is made up of floorboards, right?
Right.
With spaces between them.
Yes.
Well, they probably have the moisture has affected that. Now, I would suggest that you put talcum powder in those cracks. And I think that will damp the noise.
Well, what it will do is, you're right, it will actually act as a solid lubricant and lubricate the boards between each other, because what's happening is the wood is squeaking because it's rubbing against each other and it's riding up and down on the nails, and therefore the...
Well, how do I get to it when we have inlaid carpeting throughout the house?
Pull the carpet back.
You have to roll the carpet back and powder it in and then just leave it there and just tap it down until it falls into
the
cracks.
The reality is that the wood is loose. The floor is loose, and the floor has to be reattached. But reattaching a floor is either one or two ways to do it. Either you pick up the floor and re-nail it,
right,
or you put screws right through the face of the wood, right down through it. And that can be done somewhat attractively if you drill holes and then you put the screw in and then you put plugs in on top of it so you don't see the heads of the screws. You could do that effectively. But if you don't want to do that and the actual movement of the floor doesn't bother you, baby powder or talcum powder is very effective in this, in reducing the squeakiness.
The noise is just almost like a bow going over a string of a violin or a cello or something like that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. He wants to stop the squeaky floors. Moira from the Bronx, what do you want to stop?
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry.
Is it Moira or Moira?
Moira.
Okay.
Last time on your show, when I heard the same two gentlemen, someone had called in regarding noise reduction, you had suggested that the person buy a product, CertainTeed, put out by CertainTeed or Corning, and that you applied it. There was like a sticky back that you applied it.
Yeah, these are called soundboards. And if you punch up on the internet or something like that, just the generic term of soundboards, you'll see a whole list of companies that make this, and it's quite popular. All it is, and it comes in all different decorative colors and fabrics and everything like that. And all it is a wooden frame with fiberglass or some other type of insulation inside, and it's fabric covered comes in many different designs, and you should take a look at it on the internet.
But some of them by Corning also is sold with a framing, which you have to apply to the wall, and then these panels are slipped into the framing.
So you can change the colors and everything like that.
Actually that's the way the system is installed.
All right.
I tried to get some information directly from Corning. They had no idea what I was talking about.
All right. You know what you do is drop me an email.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and specifically, and I remember seeing the link, and I'll link it back to you, okay?
And the link is soundboard?
No, just email me at larry@ubell.com.
Larry?
At ubell, UBELL.com.
Okay, thank you.
And leave your telephone number also.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling us, Moira.
But there is this material does exist.
There is also another source that people could go to. It's called Sweets Catalog Service by McGraw-Hill. This will, if you just, and if you punch that up on the internet, Sweets Catalog, you'll be able to get to those products quite easily.
Let's take some more calls. By the way, this is WNYC 93.9 FM, also WNYC.org. On WNYC AM 820, you can hear live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Samuel A. Alito. But meanwhile, here you can hear live whatever the heck this is with the gurus of how to.
I heard it was the Leonard Lopate show. That's what the heck this is.
When are we endorsing a new name for this show?
This is the third name we've had.
You know what that? The heck this is?
The show started off as Senior Edition, then it was New York and Company, then it became the Leonard Lopate Show, and now I want to move it on to whatever the heck this is.
When Marty Wayne was your predecessor, what was the show called?
Senior Edition.
It was called Senior Edition.
Mario from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show, until we change the name.
Trying to broaden our
Mario.
Horizons.
And a name by any other name.
No. Still, Mario, you there?
Just as much.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, Mario.
Mario from Manhattan, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Where did I move you to? Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did you ever live in Brooklyn?
No, never.
No. Different guy. Okay, goodbye.
Listen,
yes,
I would suggest for bare wood floors to use graphite because it matches the color of the joint.
Oh, graphite will be all over the house. Oh, it'll be terrible.
And it's hard to clean up.
And it's a mess. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be tracking that from today till tomorrow.
And once it gets in your fingers and your toes, and it'll be dirty forever.
The bottom of bottom of your feet will look like the bottom of like a coal miner's feet.
For those that actually run around barefoot in the mines.
Okay. Anyway, I have a heating question.
Yes.
As you know, in steam heated apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You can't choose which apartments to heat and which not to heat. And I've been looking, since I'm in a building that has several apartments that are mostly unoccupied, I've been trying to come up with a way to shut the heat off to those apartments in order not to burn too much fuel.
Well, how about just shutting off the valves at the radiators?
Yeah, but these are in a metal box, and most of these valves are worn out.
Well, then, okay.
And my idea is this, that I can install small ball valves under the air vent. Would that work?
No. What you can do is stuff that box full of insulation, bottom and top, so that there's no convective flow.
Well, actually, let me just say one thing. He actually is right to a certain degree that if they have air vents and it's a one-pipe system and he shuts off the air vent or plugs the air vent, it will limit the amount of air that gets out of radiator, therefore it limits the amount of steam that goes into it.
He does have
a point, and that would work. But I would probably do is just remove the air vent and put a plug in.
No, but these have to be turned on and off every once a week.
Why?
Because the people come back after a long weekend.
Oh,
I see what you mean.
The idea is that it should be easy and quick to do.
The only thing you can do, really, is you got to bite the bullet, and the valve that feeds the radiator has to be replaced with a brand new one.
By the way, they
do get old and worn out.
Those valves do need to be replaced like once every 10 to 20 years because they do wear out.
Yeah, they do.
So it's time to just, like he said, bite the bullet and start replacing them.
Okay.
Okay, or repacking them at the very least.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And Roberta, you're in Manhattan as well. I understand you got a major emergency. What is it?
Not an emergency, but thank you very much for taking my call.
What's the question?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My question is regarding pigeons on the balcony. We have connecting balconies, and pigeons have come to consider these balconies their own. They come regularly. We go out and make all sorts of noises. They don't move very quickly. They seem to think they are welcome visitors, and of course they're not. So I need to clean the balcony. My neighbor needs to clean her balcony. And what can we do at a modest cost?
All right. The modest cost is that there are like spikes.
Right.
They're not really spikes, but they're like wire spikes, and they come in a strip that gets glued down to the windowsill, and there's no way for the pigeon to perch on top of that windowsill with these little spikes.
Is it a windowsill or a guardrail?
It's a guardrail on a balcony.
Yeah, a guardrail on a balcony.
So they can put it on the guardrail and on the windowsills, wherever it may be. However, the idea is to find who is feeding the pigeons. You got to stop feeding the pigeons. That's the point. The pigeons will find food somewhere else. They'll go to Central Park. They'll go someplace else. If somebody is feeding the pigeons in your neighborhood on the ground or anywhere else or on their fire escapes or what have you, you'll never get rid of these pigeons.
So this
because that is an attractant for them to come to you.
Or there's another option of actually putting up netting around your particular balcony, which will stop them from getting in.
That's not attractive.
But that's disgusting.
Right. It is disgusting, but you know what? The pigeon droppings are slightly more disgusting.
Yeah. Yes, there's no question about it.
Okay.
We have lots of other calls and no time, unfortunately. But what should people do if they have these questions? Some of them sound to me like serious problems.
Some of them are, and I've made a couple of phone calls about people who've had foundation issues, flooding issues.
We have a sump pump problem. We have hardwood floors. We have masonry. We have somebody wants to convert a space above a barn. Another one has a 17-foot high attic, and he wants to insulate it. We have a renovating kitchen in a co-op with a lead paint problem, clanking water pipes. Just so many problems out there. And only the gurus of how-to can
answer
solve
them. Send the email, but give us your telephone number. That's important.
But do me also a solid. Don't call me. I'll call you. Because if you call me, I'm probably not going to return it for at least a couple of weeks. So you're saying, why didn't that guy call me? Because it takes like I said, I had all last month, and I haven't gone through all the emails.
And I can verify. He really did a good job.
And meanwhile, people want to know the other answers to the question. They're all similar to Reglet. There's a raggle and a raglan.
Right.
And a regal.
What? Did you make that one up?
No, regal. R-A-G-G-L-E.
That's raggle.
I thought it was raggle. I thought raggle. I said that. But it's okay. I don't want to haggle with you.
You don't haggle
with our haggle with a raggle.
with our gaggle of raggle?
Meanwhile, guess what?
Are you being germane again?
We're going to do this again on the 8th of February.
Where, again, we will go forth and show all of New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Connecticut, and all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, and
save money and do it safely.
Yes, I left out the money.
Yeah,
save money.
I'm waiting for the money. That's my cue. You also have to say New York also. I wish you'd say New York first.
All right.
Then maybe New Jersey, maybe Connecticut.
You've been gone such a long, long time. How you gonna fix this broken heart of mine?
Up next, Brooklyn's own great pianist Randy Weston celebrates his 80th birthday with a live performance in our studio. And then later on, the son of a 1930s G-man describes his father's fight against notorious criminals like John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd and explains why he thinks his father's success in the FBI caused J. Edgar Hoover to turn against him. Plus, former Esquire editor-in-chief Lee Eisenberg on why planning for a financially secure retirement causes so many people so much anxiety. This is WNYC FM and WNYC.org, also available as a podcast on WNYC AMA20. You can hear live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Samuel A. Alito.